as we look into the Word this morning. We're beginning a new series, and we want you to understand the series that we're approaching. We're going to do a series on the Shepherd's Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is perhaps the most beloved of all the Psalms. It is that Psalm that is used so frequently in funeral services, and yet I don't want you to feel that the next few messages are going to be funeral messages. Its purpose is not just for funerals. The purpose is to bring comfort and satisfaction to the heart of the people of God. We are doing a series that is in tandem. That is, on Sunday morning, we're looking at the Lord as our shepherd. And then Sunday evening, the counterpart to that, we as shepherds, the care of the flock of God. And I trust you can be with us for those. And if you can't, you'll pick up the tapes and able to share it that way. The 23rd Psalm. Does anyone know where to find that in the Bible? It's one of those awkward psalms that doesn't really have a title other than the 23rd Psalm, which means out of 150 psalms, the 23rd Psalm is the one that is called a Psalm of David. It is a psalm that David wrote as a shepherd himself, and he likens the Lord to being a shepherd. And we want to look into those things as we consider the 23rd Psalm. Some of you have memorized it. Let me ask you, how many have memorized the 23rd Psalm? Raise your hand real high. All right, now I'm going to pick a few of you and have you come up front and quote it for us. I was just curious as to whether you could do that. When we started the Ten Commandments, I gave a challenge and I said, is there anybody here that can quote the Ten Commandments? And I had several people come up afterwards, especially I had about five or six people come up afterwards, because I offered $50 to anybody that could quote the Ten Commandments word for word. I still have my $50. Now, I want to give a challenge to you about the 23rd Psalm. Inflation is terrible. I would like to offer $10 to any child under 12 years old, 12 years old or under, who can come up to me and quote the 23rd Psalm word perfect. That is, you can't miss any words at all. And you know from Awana that Awana gives you a little cheating room, a couple errors, but I don't let you have any errors because it's my money I'm giving you. Okay, so $10 for any child under 12 that can come up and quote to me the 23rd Psalm. And that offer is open until I find a child that can do so. So if I still have my $10 next week, hey guys, you had a whole week to work on it. Now let me make another offer. For those of you that are over 12, if any of you adults or young people would memorize the 23rd Psalm, I will give you a kiss. That's about all I could afford. But I want to challenge you that as we study the 23rd Psalm, it's more than just coming to church and having a sermon. It's looking at a precious piece of literature and inspiration and authority from God's Word that's given to us that we might profit from it, that we might grow in it. And we need to learn it. So I challenge all of you to get involved with the 23rd Psalm over the next few weeks. And I would encourage you to, number one, read it. Perhaps read it every day as part of your devotions. It's only six verses. It doesn't take very long. But read it every day. Meditate on it. That is, savor it. Let it roll around in your brain and like a good piece of chocolate. Just, Let its flavor sink in. Don't chomp on it too fast, but let it soak. And then I would encourage you to, if you haven't already memorized it, to commit it to memory. So that in the hours of your deepest sorrows and greatest calamities, you are able to go back to the 23rd Psalm and find comfort. And then I would challenge you to recite it. Around your table. You're going to sit at the table this afternoon, I assume, as part of your prayer and the offering of blessing on the food. Recite the 23rd Psalm and do so until the whole family can recite it together. These are good exercises because God gave us the 23rd Psalm so that it could be in our hearts. All right, now, the 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's what we're going to start on today, is just that little phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." But I want you to join with me and read it. We're going to use the King James Version, not because it's inspired, but because these people on the platform know it in King James. No. It's because most of us memorized it in King James, and it's a little bit easier to follow what you memorize. So it's going to be on the overhead. You can follow along. And those of you that don't have the words can just pretend. All right? The 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How many of you didn't have to read it and got it word for word? Somebody blocked them from coming up here afterwards. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, as we look into your word, we know that it is a serious matter. And yet it is such a delightful matter that you would introduce yourself to us as our shepherd. And Lord, as we look into these things, we ask that our hearts would be strangely moved and warmed in your presence, and our relationship to you will become deeper and richer because of what we're going to see and hear today and in the following weeks. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we want to look just at that first phrase, and I want us to savor it. So put it into your brain and put it into your mouth and savor it. And I want you to say just that phrase with me: "The Lord is my shepherd." Again, "The Lord is my shepherd." One more time: "The Lord is my shepherd." There are lots of ways to say that, lots of ways to read it and to think about it. I'm going to suggest three important aspects of this part of the 23rd Psalm. First of all, the value of this psalm. It is important for us to understand that it is valuable. And then the significance of this psalm, that God has given it to us to be a significant value and that we had appropriated in our lives. And finally, we want to look at the relationship in this psalm. So let's look first of all at the value of this psalm. What is a psalm? A psalm in the Old Testament was a poem. Of course, we're reading it in English, so we don't get the Hebrew, and we don't really get the idea of the poetry that's there. But indeed, it is poetry. David wrote this psalm perhaps when he was laying on the ground with his sheep. It perhaps was some evening when the stars were out in the heavens above, and he was sitting around with his little harp out in the fields as he would customarily do. And he perhaps strummed a little bit and then began to say these things to the Lord. A psalm is a poem, and David said the poem to the Lord, but then he put it to music. And all psalms are also musical renditions. Have you ever memorized a poem? Sure you have. "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." Remember that one? Most poems don't have a great deal of value. I remember a few that I memorized, but one in particular that my son loved. He just fell in love with this poem as I was doing some humorous things, and I read it to him one day. He said, "Man, I'm going to memorize that. I'm going to learn that the rest of my life." What value? I don't know, but it's called "Two Dead Boys." One bright day in the middle of the night, two dead boys got up to fight. Back to back, they faced each other, drew their swords, and shot each other. The deaf policeman heard the noise, came and killed those two dead boys. If you don't believe this lie is true, ask the blind man because he saw it too. Now you look at some poems and you say, duh. What is the value of that in poetry? I remember when I was in high school, I was reading some so-called poetry, and one of the pieces that I read was Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. While I pondered weak and weary. And true, there's not much value to it, but something about the human heart likes poetry. And this particular psalm is a psalm that God inspired, that it would cross all lines of culture and language, so that everybody in every culture would come to know its picturesque speech and understand the word pictures that God draws for us, so that we might pull from this psalm its value for our souls. It is a poem, it is a song. I recently was on a prayer retreat and went to a Catholic retreat center. And that Catholic retreat center, St. Thomas More's Center, is dedicated to the Psalms. As a matter of fact, when I came there, they had opened their doors for us to have a prayer retreat. I went alone, and the man that greeted me said, "Well, you are going to join in the Psalms with us every 2 hours, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, not really. I came here to be alone and be quiet with God." And he said, "Well, the building was put up and somebody paid all this money so that you could come and walk through the Psalms with us." And I said, "Well, that's quite all right, but this time I'm going to be quiet before the Lord." But you know, I think it's a valuable thing that they're doing there, is taking the Psalms and not just reading them, but also chanting them and singing through them, because that's how they were written. That there is value beyond just the words and the mental effect of those words to us. The psalm is also a portrait. It is a drawing, a sketch that God gives to us of His own person. No man has seen God at any time, but in this psalm we get a picture of who He is. The Lord is my shepherd. And even though most of us have never been very pastoral, we have never been out in the fields with sheep, we get the idea. And David conveys it to us so that we can pull from it some value for our souls. It's also to be re-emphasized that it's not just to be read, it's to be memorized and often recited. So I encourage you to do that in the weeks that come. Then we look at the significance of the psalm. There is value to it, value because God created it that we might see Him in a new way, in a new facet, in a new light. But there's significance in the psalm. It was written by David, the shepherd king. David was the shepherd boy. Remember some of the stories about David? The one that we remember most of all is David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Here are the armies of Israel set against the Philistines in a mighty, raging battle that didn't go anywhere. Because the Philistines had a great champion. With his 9-foot-6-inch frame, he stood before them and he blasphemed God. And he stood out and he said, "Give me a man to fight and it'll be one-on-one. If I win, you become our slaves. If you win, we become your slaves." And so it went day after day until David, the shepherd boy, arrived on the scene with a lunch for his brothers. And he heard the bragging of the wicked man, the giant. And he spoke to others and he said, "Why doesn't somebody go out there and fight him? He's blaspheming God. He shouldn't be allowed to do that." Finally, he shows up before the king and the king says, "Who are you, little runt kid?" And David said, "I'm just a shepherd boy. But I love the Lord. And I have been able to beat a lion and a bear with my sling. And I know the Lord will deliver this uncircumcised giant into my hands as well." We don't know exactly what Saul had in mind, but it was obvious that David was going to get killed. But David approached the little stream, and with a prayer he knelt down and picked up 5 smooth stones. And as he approached the giant came out and laughed. And David looked at him with his huge spear and 2 shields. And David came running across the field and yelled in a loud voice, "You come to me with a sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of heaven, and He will deliver you into my hands." And he took the sling and the stone and he slung it. And the stone sailed up and hit the giant between the eyes and the forehead. The giant tumbled down. What a fantastic story of a little shepherd boy that learned the character of God while he was with his sheep. And that image, that portrait of his heavenly Father etched in his mind was a permanent reminder that God was able. The significance of this psalm is that God wants you to know that He is able in your life. It doesn't matter what the giant is that comes your way. It doesn't matter the waves of the sea or the storms of the land or the tempest that Satan brings against you. God says He is able because the Lord is your shepherd. And as your shepherd, He is your protector. I remember as I was growing up, we as little guys, 9 years old, would brag about our dads. And I remember the first time I did that, one of the kids at school said, "My dad can beat up your dad." And I thought about that for a moment, and I started to say something, and I realized, my dad's only 5'6". My dad's not very big, but he is kind of stocky. And so I went home, and I said, "Dad, do you think you could beat up on Billy's dad?" And of course, my dad said, "No, we're not into that. I'm not going to beat up on anybody." But we began to talk to my dad and said, "Dad, tell us something about your life. And did you ever do anything exciting and strong?" My dad talked about World War II, and he said just before he was to be shipped overseas, he got sick and wasn't able to go, but he was a medic, and they put him into a mental institution. No, I should correct that. They didn't put him in. They assigned him to a mental institution. And there he saw all kinds of men, and he said probably the greatest tragedy of the World War II was the men that were on the front lines that received Dear John letters from their lovers back home. And you know what a Dear John letter is? "Dear John, I'm breaking an engagement. Dear John, I found someone else. Dear John, goodbye." Dad said he was in that hospital one day and they brought in a giant of a man. He said the man towered over him and was mammoth, huge, broad shoulders, 6'5", muscles that are big as your legs. And they told my dad, "Take him down to the cell and lock him in because he's violent." And so my little dad takes him by the arm and starts escorting him down the hallway, and the man goes berserk. He just starts thrashing and throwing things around the room and screaming and trying to hit my dad. And of course, my dad being short, dodged and moved around this way, that way. Finally, the guy reached down and lunged at him, and Dad says, "I just took my right hand and went..." And he said, "The amazing thing happened. He spun around and fell down, knocked out." "Well, I'll tell you what I did. I went back to school and said, 'My dad can beat your dad.'" The Psalm of David has significance because David discovered that his dad, his heavenly Father, his heavenly shepherd could beat anybody. When he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he wasn't talking about just a shepherd that held the sheep in a cuddly fashion and just was lovey-dovey. He was talking about a shepherd that was powerful. Your rod and your staff, your weapons, they come. And so we see that the significance was in the shepherd king. But the significance was also in the soothing singer. That David learned to worship the Lord with this psalm. It wasn't just a psalm of battle, but it was a song of love. A song in which he was able to say, "I love the Lord because He loved me. And He loved me so much." This psalm was written long before Jesus ever came. Long before the Son of God came and offered Himself as a sacrifice on Calvary. And yet David, looking down through the ages into the future, saw the heart of God, and he knew that God loved him so much that God would not even spare His own Son,
but give him freely for his life. And so David sang love songs to the Lord. I wonder, men, do you sing love songs to your wife? Do you? Let me for a moment look back over the crowd. And I was trying to do this as I prepared the message. I was trying to think of all your faces and trying to think of the least likely person to sing to their wife. Where's Gary Spradley? Dr. Spradley, are you here? There he is. He's back there hiding. He's crawling. Now, I don't know. Judy doesn't tell me what goes on behind closed doors. And I'm sure there's a wonderful love affair that's going on. But in my mind, knowing Dr. Spradley as that sophisticated philosopher, that theologian extraordinaire, I would find it very difficult to see him sitting on the end of Judy's bed with a mandolin singing, I love you, I love you. Now, Judy, perhaps you could tape it for us and bring it in. Somehow we in our Western world don't consider a man singing a love song as a manly thing. And a man singing to God a love song is even stranger. But David was a man's man. And he thought he needed that love relationship with God in heaven. And he built that relationship on the songs that he sang to the Lord. So I want to encourage every man here. It's easy for the women to sing the songs. But the men, and even the least likely among you, if you're a wife here today and you're sitting next to your husband and he's not likely to sing you a song, would you just nudge him right now so I can see the pain? And those same husbands that are least likely to sing love songs to their wife are probably the least likely to sing love songs to the Lord in a worship service. The significance of the psalm in David's heart was, with this psalm, I worship the lover of my soul. I worship the God who created me and loved me and will take me home to be with Him. The significance is also in the heart feelings, not just in the words. As we read these words, there are many expressions that are deeper than the mind. It's not a philosophy that's being presented here. It's a relationship, it's tenderness, it's kindness, it's all of those warm fuzzies that God wants us to sense about Him. And finally, the significance is in the healing of the words. Listen to just a few of those words. Green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness, the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, a table prepared for me. You anoint my head, my cup runs over. God says there is significance in this psalm because it helps us to express what God has done for us and what He has promised to do, and that He will always be faithful to be there for us. That's why this psalm is so significant in times of funeral. I suspect that every funeral that I've ever conducted, I begin that funeral by reading or quoting the 23rd Psalm. Now, you saw me this morning, I was reading it. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because I didn't want to mess it up. I was in a funeral once and I thought, well, I'm just going to quote it because I know it backwards and forwards. And I started, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then I went blank. And then I looked at the group and I said, would you quote that with me? God God wants us to be able to take this psalm and remember each part of it and put it together and sing it to Him, because it's a significant psalm for us. The third and last thing we want to see is the relationship that's in the psalm. It stands out above everything else in the psalm. It's a psalm that contains 17 personal pronouns. If you have your own Bible, take it and circle every one. My, I, me, mine. There are 17 of them. Most of the psalms are not so personal. They are we and us and them. But the 23rd psalm is extremely personal. It's almost as if God pulled back the veil and allowed us to see the secret romance going on between God and one of His children. And so when David wrote it, he deliberately wrote it to be personal. The Lord is my shepherd. The emphasis was on He is mine. It was bragging rights, just like I had the bragging rights of my dad because of what he did to the guy in the mental institute. Now, maybe that's not a great bragger. You know, a guy's in a mental institute and you beat him up. But the fact that you are proud of God and your relationship to Him is an important fact. I've mentioned to you before that my wife was quite a catch. And when we started to date and we fell in love and I announced my love to her, she did something really, 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 really special to me. She had an 8x12 picture of herself. I mean, it was hot. It's still hot. It's on my study wall right in front of me. She was adorable and is adorable. Oh, am I in trouble? I put that picture on my dorm dresser. And guys walking down the hall inevitably would put on the brakes. It was funny. They were walking by and they go, back up. Whoa. Where did you get that? And I remember one of the first guys that stopped, he said, "Where did you get that?" And I said, "Well, Marilyn gave it to me." You know how I did it. Yeah. "Marilyn gave it to me." And he says, "Wow, she must really like you." Yep. And I had bragging rights. When I would tell guys we're engaged, I did it with a smile. "She's mine. Can't have her anymore. She's not available. She's off the shelf. Leave her alone. She's the best, the very best. And I couldn't say enough about her. I couldn't tell enough people about her." That's a love relationship. And David had that love relationship with God, the Heavenly Father, who he saw as his heavenly shepherd. And he said, "I've got bragging rights. Let me tell you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not." That personal pronoun shouts to us that all of us need to have a relationship with God like that. David was bragging about his relationship, but he was also telling everybody, "You could have this too. My God is an awesome God, and He wants to be your shepherd too." But you see, He's not everybody's shepherd. It's not automatic that the Lord is your shepherd. It is a very personal thing, and the Lord becomes your shepherd when you come into a personal relationship with Him, when you meet Him personally and confess your sins and ask for His good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into your heart and life and be your Savior. There's a relationship that's built. It begins that moment, and it will last forever. That's why he ends the psalm by saying, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God wants us to know that this relationship is important. First of all, David sees that God created him We could spend time talking about the stars and all of the magnificence of creation and go to the ends of the universe and count the billions upon billions upon billions of stars and then come sucking yourself right back to Earth and look down at this little blue globe and then come down even further to where you're at and see how small you are. The Lord, the Creator of the earth, said, I created you for a relationship with me. Out of all the expanse of the universe, I chose you upon this little globe, and I touched your heart. I sent my Son to die on the cross for you. Oh, how he loves you and me. He is a shepherd because he created us, but he's also a shepherd because he sought us. The Word of God tells us that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. You see, the Savior is a seeking Savior. Jesus told people while he was on the earth, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was that good shepherd that would go to the hillsides and reach over the cliff and find the animal, the sheep that was in the thicket, and reach down at his own peril, reach down and grab him. He would search for the lost sheep. He even gave us the parable of the 99 sheep that were not lost and the shepherd leaving all of those to find the one that was lost. You see, the shepherd values you and he values me so much so that he sought us. And then he caught us. He grabbed us out of the thicket. Grabbed us. David says in another psalm, he grabbed me out of the miry clay. He picked me up and he put my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He not only sought me and found me where I was at, but when I didn't want him and I was running the wrong direction, God grabbed me and pulled me and he set me up on a rock and he keeps me safe. Jesus spoke of this in John chapter 10 when he spoke of being the good shepherd. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I have them in my hand and in my Father's hand, and no man is able to take them out of my Father's hand. See, there's something secure, something safe, something wonderful about the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That when you have that relationship, it's a permanent one, that God has rescued you from your own sin and from your waywardness, and he has put you on the right trail. He's put you into his flock, and he said, you are mine, and I am yours. Lastly, he says, the Lord brought me. That last part, he says, he will bring me to the banqueting table. In the last of everything, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and when he does no longer answer my prayer to heal my body, he will take me home to be with him, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's great comfort in that. I want to close with an illustration about the Lord being my shepherd. You can have that last slide. I want you to look at this shepherd for a moment. The next to the last. Yeah, that one. I want you to look at that shepherd and look at him carefully. There are some marks on that shepherd that identify who he really is. You see his hands. And you take a look at that little lamb. That little lamb is you. A true story is told of a man and his son who were in a forest out west when a forest fire came through. And they were trapped by the fire. They could see the smoke on each side. And they tried one way and it didn't work. And they tried another way and that didn't work. And pretty soon they were getting panicky. And the little boy was saying, Daddy, what are we going to do? Daddy, what are we going to do? And the dad said, just stay close to me and follow me. And so dad took him by the hand. And finally they came to an edge of a precipice, a cliff. And they were afraid. And the clouds of smoke were billowing all around them. And the father said, well, son, there's only one way to get away from the fire, and that's we have to go down the cliff. But I'll go first. So dad slid down the cliff. And when he got to the bottom, he said, son, now I'm here. Come.
Jump, slide down, I'll catch you. And the little boy said, but Daddy, I can't see you. The smoke is blocking. I can't see where I'm at. I don't know what to do. And his dad said, son, I'm right here. Hear my voice. I urge you, please, just jump. Leap off the cliff if necessary. I see you and I will catch you. Daddy, Daddy, what am I going to do? And the fires came closer. Finally, the dad urged with all of his energy. He said, son, trust me. Jump. I will catch you. The little boy jumped out into the abyss because all he could see was smoke. He collapsed into his father's arms and they walked safely home. And the dad said to his son, son, I would never leave you and I would never forsake you. When you can't see me, I am there. David said, when I don't see him, the Lord is there. The Lord is my shepherd, and he will take care of me. Last slide is this. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? I look around and I see your faces looking at that little lamb. Isn't that amazing? I knew that would happen. You're looking at that cuddly little lamb and you're saying, oh, Mom, Dad, could we have one? If you've ever taken a lamb in your arms, that wool, that kinky little woolen blanket that he wears as part of his skin is soft and cuddly. And I remember one time when I had a lamb in my arms and I was holding him and just scratching him like you would a dog. And then he looked up at me and he stuck out his tongue and he said, bah! And it's exactly what I did. I laughed out loud. I looked at him and he just went, bah! And I remembered, the Lord is my shepherd and all I need to do is call on him and say, Father, I need you. He's my shepherd. Is he yours? If you're not sure this morning, Jesus has offered himself as a sacrifice for your sins. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, but he's also the good shepherd that will always keep you as his sheep. So as we close this morning, I want to give you an invitation. If you've never received Jesus Christ personally, if you can't say the Lord is my shepherd this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. If you don't have a love relationship with him and this song or psalm of David has no meaning for you, you can come into that relationship this morning by simply saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, come into my life and be my Savior. Cleanse me from my sin and wash me and make me your child. And God says it's just so simple that a child can do it. And he waits for you. Will you let him be your shepherd this morning? I've asked Pastor Dave to close with a song. And I'm going to ask you just to quietly close your eyes and listen and respond to the Lord.